very nice old pot. And so, this was before I was analyzed the first time. So I was a nice Zionist Judish Imamite, was a whole crowd, and the older people from the Zionist party in Dresden came too, and, well, so...
Actually, when they repaid you money, they were only paying what... They were only putting back money that they had borrowed to live.
Yeah, yeah, they didn't pay me.
Yeah.
That's not. And they were really people who couldn't pay. Very seldom that somebody came who could pay, and if they could pay, they could go into Santerre. They paid later. After
yeah,
they were well,
they
paid back. They didn't pay me anything at that time.
Yeah, but when
they paid me back the money I had taken from the wealthy patients to... You see, I corrected the world a little. Also, my well-to-do relatives who used to give me presents for my birthday or for Hanukkah, to them I told I needed money for this purpose, and so it was a flourishing private sanatorium, if you want to call it that.
But you were feeding these people?
No, I didn't buy food for them.
Oh.
They could take what I left. Well, sure, I gave some money to live.
Yeah.
They didn't have any.
That's where the money went.
And then they made money on each other. For instance, one gave Hebrew lessons, and the others would, let's say, mend his stockings for that, and that kind of thing. It was a perfect community and very good therapeutic results, and the money came back, and I could stand it. I was in best health, and so it went. But, oh, and Schulz finally one day called me and said, look, you know what kind of atmosphere here that is. They think anyway you are an angel. You might just as well ask these people to come here for their treatment hours, so that you have at least a little more privacy. Everybody will think it's wonderful. That is the office which Sanitarium gave me. And so I did that, and that made it a little easier, but the atmosphere was such. If somebody appeared in Weißer Hirsch who wasn't dressed up, I mean, adequately dressed for daytime, then somebody would come and say, oh, are you looking for Dr. Reichman? You find her there. And so it was. And it went all fine. Little accidents happened, such as somebody going with my food remainders to her room in the little town and throwing it all on the floor right in front of the official dining room. Things of that order. But otherwise, it worked fine.
Throwing it or dropping it?
What?
Throwing it or dropping it?
No, dropping.
Dropping.
No, they had really no reason to be mean. But after some years, I found it was a little too much. And Ilse Fromm was in the picture at that time, and he found it was a little too much.
Was he working in the Weißer Hirsch Hospital too?
No, no, no. He's not an MD. He's a PhD.
Oh.
He's a sociologist and, studied a good deal of theology. Well, anyway, we decided it would be wiser to see that if I didn't want to spend my life treating all these wealthy people and have constantly to make up with the other 8 hours, that you couldn't do that ad infinitum. And so we thought it would be wiser to have a sanitarium for the other 8. And so I borrowed the money for that from people. This was inflation. That is, I had no money, even though I had made very good money It wasn't worth anything. You spend it as quickly as you could. And I mean, real inflation, nothing of what you have had here has anything to do with it. If you got your salary on Monday, by Saturday it wasn't worth anything. You had to take an hour off on Monday to spend the money.
Oh, gee.
It was really that way. But by the time we decided to open that sanitarium, and borrow money for that, the inflation was just over, but it left me without a cent. And but there were some uncles, aunts, etc., who had the money, and I borrowed just enough for the down payment of a house, period. If you think anybody had thought of the fact that you can't, even if you are a wonderful psychiatrist, open a hospital unless you have a little furniture, you are wrong. Nobody thought of that. So what did I do? I had not a cent more than to pay the down payment for the house. I told the man for whom I bought it to leave furniture for an office and a waiting room in, which I wanted to buy, but which I would pay for later. And then I asked all my reasonably well-to-do friends to give me old furniture and old linen and God knows what. And at Weißer Hirsch, where I was a great success and wonderful girl, of course, God, what an angel, with an adopted child and blah, blah, blah. They asked me what I wanted for a farewell present, and I said the furniture which had been in my room. And they gave it to me, and I had some furniture at home from the time I had still lived at home. And so we furnished the house with that.
How many patients did you, were you able to handle
that? How many did we have? Maybe 10 or 15 in the house, and then lots of people who could live on the outside but would come for meals and for their therapy. And now, the idea was following. In the meantime I had gotten analyzed during the last 2 years I was on Weißer Hirsch. I had discovered very early that there's something funny with the relationship between patient and doctor. Since the patient's got in such a funny way tied up with the doctor, that there was something not right about that, but I didn't know what to do about it. And there I read Freud about transference. And you must know, at that time nobody talked about this. One didn't talk about relationship in therapy. And I find Freud and find, God, what an experience this was. There was a psychiatrist who knew it and talked about it. It was really tremendous. And then he said, you can only fully understand it if you get analyzed. And so it was settled. I had to get analyzed to fully understand that, because it had bothered me as long as I had been an analyst. Psychiatrist, 12 years. It had always bothered me. I remember one time, I was still quite young, the head of the psychiatric department of the medical school in Breslau came to visit our head, and I was around, and he told a long story about a hysteric who would always travel after him, and wherever he went, here she would be kind of in a bragging mood. And my boss would kind of chime in with some admiration. Now, shy as I was, I had these few things where it's killing me. And so I said, yes, isn't that a funny story, how these people get dependent on us? I wonder what one can do about it. God, they both thought I was crazy and were hurt. But I remember that very strongly when I read my Freud. You can't imagine what that meant. Having known it from the first day you were in psychiatry, and nobody seemed to know anything about it, and nobody talked about it, and this man said he knew that that was so. So I got analyzed. And that was the second greatest experience was in my analysis. Here I had already. First, I had been invited to become a privatdozent, you called it, the next lower to associate professor, which one didn't do with women. It didn't come out, I tell you, that's a long time. I had built up this brain injury and surgery hospital out of nothing. I had been an unusual success in Weizer Hirsch. I had given papers while I was with Goldstein, which were quite successful. Well, I was already kind of somebody, but didn't register because Mama was so great. So the second great experience in my analysis was, one day the analyst says, but you know, you are a real productive and creative person. I thought I'd fall down off the couch. I never thought in these terms. I was 31. Well, anyway, so that happened. And then I learned about transplants. So this was very, God, that was wonderful.
Schultz was not analytically...
He was everything, you know. He knew, but when I said, look, I must learn that, he gave me Freud to read. He said, yes, so you don't want to compromise yourself. Go and tell them you are a musician and tell them a few dreams, meaning I should go as though I were my sister. And, well, I knew that couldn't be. And so...
Why did he say that?
Well, that was as much or as little as he knew about it, you see. You tell him, let some dreams, and then he'll analyze the dreams, and so on. Well, anyway, so we thought Erich Fromm, in the meantime, had gotten analyzed too, and we thought, if it's right that people get well by having that which is repressed come into awareness, if that's right for the individual, then it should also be right for the Jewish people as a group. So if we open a sanitarium where we first analyze the people and second make them aware of their tradition and live in this tradition, not because the Lord had said so, but because that meant becoming aware of our past in big style, then we would do something not only for the people but also for individuals, but also for the Jewish people. And so we had an old Russian Jewish scholar who taught there, and Erich did, and I analyzed him, and as we got more, in the meantime, Erich was able to analyze too, and then I got one associate. He's now in Palestine and is, you know who Klages is?
No.
Well, there's some old time, but so he became a great Klages adherer later. And so here we had our holy sanitarium. Now this was a very interesting experiment, except that among all things there was kosher food. And so the people from Frankfurt came because we had kosher food and not because they wanted to become enlightened. And gradually, as our analysis went on, we both went for fractured analysis. We felt the thing maybe it wasn't quite right, and that was not the solution of the world problems. Anyway, we became more interested in the leftist view of things. So we thought we had to give it up. But above all, I felt I had to give it up because the rabbis came because they could eat kosher food. They didn't want to be analyzed. So 1 year Passover, the house was full. We had also quite a number of people who didn't give a damn, but who were interested. And we also had Gentiles to whom we told ahead of time that they would have to cope with it. And then I had to help Ilish, of course, to learn what he still had to learn. So we had to open a small department for psychotics because he had to see them. And then I had to write somebody was the head of a psychiatric department in München after Kreplin, that Ilish, for his religious studies, he had to hear psychiatric classes, and so he got his psychiatric classes, and so he got his training. But, as I said, after 4 years, we felt this was not it. God, have I worked in those times, because you see, the money had to be given back. One amount I got as a gift, in memory of somebody who had died and so on. What did I get? 25,000, that was all. 10, 15 I had to give back, and 10 I got as gift. Oh, and it was this way, the way we built that thing up. I would sit in a room with a patient and analyze and look around, and I'd see, oh, we need curtain for that room. And then as the next fee came in from somebody, I'd go and buy those curtains. And so we got the thing gradually going. And then we analyzed people for letting them work. I analyzed the housekeeper, I analyzed the cook. And you may easily imagine what happened if they were in the face of resistance. God, it was a wild affair. And I may add, we may later decide to cut it out. Erich and I had an affair. We were married. And nobody was supposed to know about that. And actually, nobody did know. And the religious teacher was in love with me and talked with me about little Erich. Erich is 10 and a half years younger than I am, and the religious teacher was maybe 10 years my senior. That is, it would have been much better. And at that time, Leo and his then wife were there.
As patients?
Leo studied in Heidelberg, I think. And his wife was analyzed. At that time I still committed all the sins there. I could do it. Later on I laughed about Solomon when he thought he could do everything. Well, so I analyzed both, and she was housekeeper. And she actually was in love with Ilse Fromm. So had my adopted daughter been. Oh, fitted better in the age. Well, anyway, so.
Well, Erich then was in he was about middle 20s by then?
Erich was then, well, I was, wait, we married when I was 36. And we married in the middle of the sanatorium experience. That is. Yes, he was second part of his 20s. Well, so after 4 years, we discovered this wasn't it. Then we were married. All marriage in my mom's house, Minyan and mikveh. Do you know what mikveh is? I went to the mikveh and I got a tonsillitis.
Oh, yeah.
I pretty near I wasn't able to get married.
Oh.
God, did I get a tonsillitis.
Oh, they give you the steam bath, huh?
Yeah.
Steam bath. Steam bath. You have to go into water which comes somewhere from a, must be
fresh water.
Floating water, and you have to be underneath so that each and every one of your
hairs gets wet.
Real wet, and there's a god-awful woman who watches that. In most communities in Eastern Prussia didn't have enough money to have a decent mikveh, because wealthy people by and large aren't Orthodox. And one time and never again, and that one time was one too many. Well, but anyhow.
Well, this is cold water then, huh?
I don't know whether it was so cold, but the hair wasn't dry by the time I left.
Oh.
It was in May, and in Eastern Prussia it was still cold anyway. But if it would have been warm, I would have gotten something too. I was the one who wanted to go. I thought if we do it, we do it right. But, well, anyway, after 4 years, we discovered that this enterprise built up with, we cut out again. You know, this enterprise was 25,000 mark borrowed. First, I had to live on it after all. Second, I had gradually to get that house filled with linen and silver, and I had some, but not enough for hospital and furniture. Third, however, Erich didn't feel that his father could know that he got analyzed, so that hospital had also to take care of his analysis and stay in München. And we did that. So, as I told you, I have always been very skillful in making money, but never in having it. So then, after 4 years, we decided we couldn't make it any longer because our conscience and heart was no longer in it. So Passover, Erich and I went into a park in Heidelberg and ate bread. We couldn't do it at home because there were these people who, after all, relied on us. And the punishment for that is korach. That means no children not only you can't have any, that is, if you both can't have any, then that family disappears from the universe. So that's the punishment until we get it. but not that I believe that. Anyway, we did it, and we were a little surprised that nothing happened, actually. And then we began to eat trifle food. That nobody who has eaten kosher up to 36 can imagine what that means. You pretty near get sick about it. The first thing I tried to be careful was ham and egg. It's very hard to eat.
Had any of it ever looked good to you before?
What's that? No. But I have one remainder from the whole thing. I especially like forbidden food. I like seafood, I like lobster, I like oysters, I like all the things I have eaten for 36 years of my life. Erich, however, can still not eat ham, it's too fat. And until the second time I laughed uproariously, he believed it, that it was too fat. Well analyzed man, many, many years. Well, so, but with that, the dream was finished, and It was a great day when we opened it. My Lord, what a day. We opened it and then off he went to get in. Yeah, I was, but my husband.
Well, he helped you open it?
What?
He helped you open it?
Oh, well, he was a German Jewish boy, so he helped, you know, with words he helped fine.
Oh.
But he could sit down and read a paper, and the girls who were supposed to be analyzed and help, and I would put the furniture on. Later on, he learned that, poor boy, when I visited with him in Davos, he had learned it already. There he did the cooking. But in those times, he was the only spoiled Jewish son of a Jewish, German Jewish family, and he helped marvelous with ideas. I learned a lot from him along those lines, and with words, but not with action. But since I was a very active and very energetic female myself, went all right. I got what I wanted, very intelligent, very warm, very well-educated men who knew lots of things in another field from mine. And
he started doing therapy there?
Later he started, not in the beginning, then he was still in analytic training. Later he did, and then we found he needed another analyst, and off he went again to Berlin and finished his training there. So,
well, now, when you first got analyzed, at this time, who analyzed you, for instance?
Somebody in München whom nobody knows, very decent fellow. Oh, we had decided, later Erich went to him, we had decided when we both would be through, we want to take him out for champagne and he should teach us how to eat oysters.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, he died of a cardiac before that. A lovely person.
What was his name?
What? Wittenberg.
Wittenberg?
Yeah, but nobody knew him. Awfully nice fellow. But then, that wasn't the training analysis.
Oh.
So I had to go to Sachs, who was the training analyst of the German Psychoanalytic Institute. And he's the one with the migraine. I told her that's the only. Well, but let's finish the sanitarium. So that was that. When did we finish? 28. So we sold the house. I stayed on one of the floors and opened a private practice. And in the meantime, Erich was through with his training, but he had developed tuberculosis. So we went to Davos. But there, pretty soon, he could take care of himself, because he got a few patients. But his father said at our wedding he was so glad that he married me because I could take care so well of his only son, and by golly, wasn't he right? He didn't know what he said. Well, anyway, so that was the, God, it was a wonderful experience. It was all worked out to the last tip on the I. For instance, Christmas, the patients had to wait on the maids, Gentile maids. And, well, everything. There wasn't a thought which hadn't been thought. It was a real job of two weathered Jewish intellectuals. And it was at the same time a Jewish training center because Erich's friend, Ernst Simon, you know Ernst Simon?
Mm-hmm.
He is, Ernst Simon, I guess you may say, he's one of the leading people at the Hebrew University now. He was one of them, and Leo was one of them. They all became more or less Jewish observant, poor boys and girls. Well, so it was. Now, this whole thing had a tremendous significance, of course, for the German Jewish Orthodox people, because they could say, look, intellectuals like Frieda and Illich do this. And the Marx, which was Wilhelm's uncle, and the Fromms, that was quite something. And so their children, in spite of all their education, or maybe because of their education, and so on. And as we gave it up, I have still one enemy. That was somebody, a cousin of mine, somebody who whose holiness was